This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. Today on the Dropout Nation podcast, servant leaders for school reform. Why we must serve our geniuses in order to lead them to brighter futures. I know, fellow listeners, this weekend has been consumed by President Barack Obama's move to gut the accountability provisions of the No Child Left Behind Act through the series of proposed waivers. You know, and you already know, Dropout Nation has called the move a step back, in fact, several step backs for systemic reform. In fact, in many ways, it's going back to the times when we basically ignored the fact that we were poorly educating our poor and minority children. But we're going to spend all next week and the rest of the month basically talking about the impact of those waivers. Today, we should talk, and we need to talk about something that is as critical to furthering systemic reform as policy making at the state and federal and local levels. That is the importance of school reformers, teachers, and school leaders in being servant leaders who build cultures of genius in which the potential of our children are nurtured so they can write their own stories. This matter has really been on my mind for a long time. In fact, in some of the pieces that I have written, we have talked about and talked around the issue of servant leadership. The idea that we must be leaders focused on serving our geniuses to ensure that every child gets the high-quality education that they deserve. But this idea was really crystallized today when I attended the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual legislative prayer breakfast, which serves as that organization's rallying forum for advancing its mission. Now, I know some of our listeners have their various views on CBC and all that it does, and I have my own, and you can guess some of those. But I'm going to leave those at the table. And in fact, I'm going to leave some of the remarks that were made at this conference and made during this prayer breakfast off the table. Not because they're not important, but at the end of the day, they're not important compared to the message that we got. That ultimately, this message about servant leadership. Let me tell you something. That this prayer breakfast, that message that I got at the prayer breakfast, it was given by Dr. Frederick Haynes, the dynamic pastor of Dallas's Friendship West Baptist Church. And it was about the importance of servant leadership in fostering the kind of social change that can transform lives and even transform history. Haynes made clear that servant leadership requires sacrifice, basically what he called hellified adversity. Basically, hellified adversity and hellified situations in which all reformers must pay the price for doing what's right. Certainly, it is wonderful to aspire to have a monument in your honor, to be the next Martin Luther King, to have something like that and be known, and in fact have your own monument, your own memorial near the National Mall. But as Haynes pointed out, King had to die, had to sacrifice, had to go through hell in order to achieve both that memorial and ultimately what was his real goal, improving America by bringing social equality for all Americans and ending Jim Crow discrimination. Haynes also rightly declared that it is a shame that you can tell how long someone will live by the zip code they live in. That is amazing. But for those of us who are in school reform and focused on what's happening in the battles over the reform of American public education, this is not surprising. You know, one can also say that it is even more shameful that you can tell the quality of education that a child will receive and the opportunities they have for gaining the learning they need in order to be successful in an increasingly knowledge-based economy just by the 5 numbers found on their mailing address. What Haynes was making clear was that hell was more than just an ecclesiastical concept, but an existential reality made true when we allow unjust conditions to exist. And it is the job of servant leaders to turn that hell into heaven for everyone. And Haynes was right when he pointed out that there is amazing power in servant leadership. When servant leaders pursue zealously, unashamedly, for transforming lives and communities, they can achieve power that is greater than their position or lack thereof. As he noted, he noted that George Wallace had position, but Fannie Lou Hamer had power. Dwight David Eisenhower had position, but Ida B. Wells had power. And keeping with the biblical theme, Zedekiah had position, but Jeremiah had power. And this power, transformative, life-changing, even genius-nurturing, is only gained when you serve people and address their needs and transform their lives. This is a power that school reformers have, especially at the grassroots level, every time they work in our schools, in our communities, and within the halls of politics. And it is a power that we must all harness in order to systemically reform a system that has disserved far too many of our children for far too long. When one out of every two young black male and Latino eighth graders are going to drop out by the time they are supposed to reach senior year, and 150 children every hour leave school for welfare lines and prison cells, and for us to do nothing about it, we are condemning their futures and, more importantly, condemning our own. When we know, as Harvard University's analysis of 2009 PISA data has shown, that the top-performing students in our country are outscored by top performers in 22 other nations, and that we say nothing, we are perpetuating a long-term economic malaise that will cripple our children and cripple our nation. And when we know that getting a high-quality education is as haphazard now as it was when my grandmother was a child back during the Great Depression of the last century, and we think nothing of it, we cannot keep our country in its fine and sterling position as the shining city upon a hill. But we have folks who don't realize this. We have education traditionalists such as Diane Ravitch who declare that education cannot improve and that children cannot succeed until we fight poverty, that American public education is perfectly fine, and that ultimately it is not the fault. The problems of education are not the fault of a system that's failed, of low-quality teaching and low-quality curriculum, but ultimately the failure of families, the failure of people who don't understand what education means fully. We have school reformers who have begun to embrace this sort of thinking as well. We have folks such as Rick Hess, who declared this past week that stemming achievement gaps and helping our poorest children get the high-quality teaching curriculum and school leadership they deserve is some sort of mania that has pushed other considerations to the periphery. Honestly, there's a whole lot of things I can say about what Hess has written, and there's plenty of things I've said about what Ravitch has said and written. But let me make this very clear. They are morally wrong and horribly incorrect. We have known over the past 4 to 5 decades that high-quality teaching matters more than socioeconomic background. And that we know that when we improve instruction and curriculum for our students, who have been the most ill-served by American public education, it is a tide that lifts all boats for both kids who are struggling and kids who come in doing relatively okay. The thing about this is that we can do so much for our children. That we have an obligation to be maniacal about improving and overhauling this failed system. And that, yes, there is nothing wrong with achievement gap mania. After all, we owe every child, and we owe to their families, taxpayers, a high-quality system of education. But we have to make that clear. And the only way we can make that clear is by expanding the number of servant leaders for school reform. We need men and women who understand that the systemic reform of American public education is no bloodless exercise. We need servant leaders who unashamedly pursue the abolition of the status quo. We need servant leaders who view the lives of every child as personally as they would the lives of their own kin. We need servant leaders who see mothers and fathers, and see every mother and father the way they see their own mother and father, knowing that those mothers and fathers, those parents, those caregivers want to give their children the very best they deserve. And we need servant leaders who, like earlier generations of servant leaders, speaking truth to power, daring to challenge myths that condemn the lives of children to despair, and confronting people who damn our children with low expectations and educational malpractice. Most of all, we need servant leaders who embrace a sense of urgency, the fierce moment of today, realizing that our children get one chance every day to get ready for the future, and that we only get this time right now to help them make their ambitions real. We have so many servant leaders in school reform right now. Folks such as Jeffrey Canada of the Harlem Children's Zone, folks such as Dr. Steve Perry and his work with both Capital Prep Magnet School and helping parents learn how to take power in education. Servant leaders such as Gwen Samuel of the Connecticut Parents Union, Howard Fuller, Steve Barr, the co-founder of Green Dot, Michael Feinberg and Dave Levin of the KIPP Charter Schools, and then we also have other servant leaders of our past, including Jaime Escalante, John Taylor Gatto, and Marva Collins, just to name a few. Not only are these servant leaders proving and have proved lie to beliefs such as the poverty myth of education, they have shown and proven and transformed what it means to be a civil rights leader, a human rights leader, and a community leader in the 21st century. And we need more servant leaders in every classroom, in every school, in every neighborhood, and all throughout this nation. Being a servant leader doesn't require a PhD. It doesn't require an EdD. It doesn't require having a doctorate of divinity. Some of our greatest leaders, from politicians such as Ronald Reagan to civil rights leaders like Malcolm X, were autodidacts of the first order, men who were learned because they picked up books and read. And that even includes folks such as Abraham Lincoln. That includes all of our servant leaders. And as former National Urban League President Hugh Price would point out, our servant leaders will often be impromptu leaders, men and women who may not have a natural interest in education outside of perhaps being parents, but they want to push for reform because they want the best for all children, especially their own. What we need from these servant leaders and what we must encourage from them are these three things. We must encourage their unashamed pursuit of school reform. This means they need to be willing to take the message of reform to every venue, from our churches to our town halls to even our local bars, reminding men and women that all of our children deserve better. There is nothing wrong with productive conflict and productive advocacy that crystallizes, clarifies, reveals, humbles, and creates. And this advocacy means being furious, shameless, zealous, and not giving any quarter. We need our servant leaders to also take action, from rallying Beltway reformers and those of the grassroots for productive efforts, including starting blogs, launching schools, tutoring children, starting new ideas, passing parent trigger laws, and taking on folks from Blue Street to the White House. It isn't enough just to offer a message. Reformers must use all of their talents as best as they can to overhaul a system in which systemic failure has become all too acceptable. And we must keep on keeping on. There is no transformative movement throughout history that hasn't involved hard work, hasn't involved paying a price for unashamed pursuit of the goal, and hasn't involved taking on constant criticism and vitriol. Education traditionalists realize that they embrace a failed amoral vision, and they will say and do anything to maintain that status quo. And reformers must battle 10 times harder to make change a reality. And now more than ever, we must serve our little geniuses in order to lead our nation. And we need more servant leaders for school reform in order to make this a reality. Listen to the Dropout Nation podcast every Sunday. Also, read Dropout Nation every day for your news and commentary on the reform of American public education. Read my columns in the American Spectator and National Review, and this month in the American Spectator, read my special report on how Michigan is seizing control of failed local governments and schools for reform. This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. You have a good night.